and welcome to The Enthusiast, the Internet's premier hate-free zone, our one-stop shop for entertainment. Every week or thereabouts, we'll go through what we're currently enjoying in the worlds of film, TV, music, games, comics, and general pop culture. I'm your host, the Total Package, Kieran Shiak, and once again, I am glad to be joined by my regular co-host, Psycho Sean Keeney.
Hello, I'm back. The following podcast will once again contain swearing, spoilers, and the use of technology this week.
Yeah, we're talking by Skype because we're both so very busy that we can't even get in the same room together.
I'm trapped in the Matrix at the minute.
Yeah, like, it is exactly like that. It's just Sean just banging on my computer screen trying to get out.
Yeah, there is no spoon, Kieran. There is no spoon.
Okay, so have you been this week? I've not seen you for ages.
I've been alright. I've been ridiculously busy, as we've probably mentioned several times over the internet. But, yeah, I'm glad to be back recording again. Bought a new microphone, so hopefully this sounds pretty good. And I've even managed to actually watch films this week, so fingers crossed we've got stuff to talk about on the show.
Yeah, I think we've both been struggling a bit trying to find stuff to talk about. I've not really caught up on any TV recently.
Yeah, I'm the same with comics. The only things I've read recently are textbooks for university essays. That's not something I'm going to be talking about on the show. How are you?
I'm all right. I can't. All right. Just been doing some uni work, doing some group work. Got the radio studio booked out for Wednesday. I had a few job interviews this week. Fingers crossed for those. Right. So Sean can see me right now. I can't see Sean, but Sean can see me. Okay. And I am actually still in my uniform. Not my uniform, my interview garb.
Yeah, very professional, sharp-dressed man through the webcam right now.
So hopefully by the time you hear this episode, I will have a job. I'm waiting to hear back. But fingers crossed.
Just put it out over the airwaves.
Give me a job. Anyway, let's talk about some news. So start with you, Sean. What have you got for us this week?
I've got a couple of news stories this week. The first one, just a quick small news story. Large Hollywood blockbusters, for some reason, have recently decided to target London and just destroy the shit out of them at any chance they've got. Skyfall blew it up. A film we're going to talk about later on blew most of it up.
Star Trek.
Star Trek, yeah, I forgot about Star Trek. G.I. Joe dropped a giant bomb on it and destroyed it completely, which was weird. But looks like Gerard Butler is also down to be destroying a bit of London himself, because Olympus Has Fallen 2 is going to be London Has Fallen. It's just been given the green light because Olympus Has Fallen was quite a big success. And Gerard Butler, Aaron Eckhart, and Morgan Freeman are reprising their roles from the original. I'm not sure whether or not the director of the first one will be returning, but yeah, this sounds like it's going to be quite fun, because the first one, it's the best Die Hard movie I've seen this year.
So I think one of the biggest news stories this week is Neam and myself spent a lot of time talking about the Captain America trailer last week. Just a day or two after that, Fox released the first trailer for X-Men Days of Future Past.
What's the last thing you remember? I had a glimpse into the past. You're going to have to do for me what I once did for you. You'll need me as well. Side by side to end this war. Before it ever begins.
Which a lot of people seem to like. It's definitely a trailer.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to the film, and the trailer has a lot of proof that the X-Men are in it, because it's consistent shots of them pausing to dramatic music.
After First Class, I'm just more interested in the McAvoy-Fassbender combo than the... I love Patrick Stewart, and I love Ian McKellen, and I'll never not love them, but I just feel it's a bit, I don't know. There's, I'm half, it's half and half. Half of me is like, it's everything I could ever want, just bringing these two things together. And half of me is just like, I just want more of that one thing.
Yeah, because this, am I right in saying this stemmed from the First Class 2, or what was meant to be that?
Well, as far as I'm aware, it is First Class 2, but it's also X-Men 4.
It's like what they're trying to do with the Army of Darkness Evil Dead franchise. They're just throwing in the new and the old and just mix max of everything.
Yeah, they're doing an Army of Darkness 2, aren't they?
Yeah, but they said Army of Darkness 3 or Evil Dead 2 or whatever will be Ash from Army of Darkness meeting the new character from Evil Dead, but I haven't a clue what's going on with that. But X-Men Days of Future Past looks quite interesting. It looks also to be a Wolverine story again.
Yeah, that guy.
You've got to get your Hugh Jackman books while you've got the chance.
Because I'm doing the X-Men films for source material now, I'm finally going to get around to the Wolverine at some point. So we'll see how I feel about
Are you going to watch X-Men Origins Wolverine first?
that. Of
Because
course I am.
what about Last Stand?
Yep.
The things you do for this website,
Yeah, I know.
goddamn.
Because the thing is, so far, I've only really watched good films.
And Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2's alright.
It's all right.
I'm not going to knock Iron Man 2. I'd rather watch Iron Man 2 than a lot of films.
That's a fair point, actually. I'm waiting to hear your Elektra source material, where you really just have to go
Not
downhill.
happening.
Catwoman coming soon.
I love my fans, but I don't love them that much.
Explorer's been hit! Explorer, do you read? Explorer, over! Explorer! Astronaut is off structure.
What do I
Dr.
do?
Stone is off structure.
What do I
Dr. Stone is intact.
No!
You must see Pat. If you don't detach that arm's gonna carry you too far. Listen to my voice. You need to focus. I'm losing visual of you. In a few seconds, I won't be able to track you. You need to detach. I can't see you anymore. Do it now.
On Thursday, in cinemas nationwide, a film we've both been looking forward to quite a lot, Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity is released. The film has already been a phenomenal success worldwide. It's made about four times its budget already. But not everyone's happy, Kieran,
Okay.
because in a theatre, I believe this was in Canada, a Canadian astronaut was booted out of a cinema screen for heckling gravity. According to this website, thebeaverton.com, Chris Hadfield, an ex-Canadian.
Chris Hadfield.
Chris Hadfield,
That dude's a hero.
ex-Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield, was removed from Empire Theatre's Waterloo in Canada for heckling the screen. By shouting things such as "Nice Soyuz procedure, Hollywood," and "Oh yeah," because that's what hypoxia, as caused by rapid cabin depression, looks like, you idiots. Just shouting like jargon
Oh.
abuse at the screen.
I don't know how to feel about that because I love Chris Hadfield. He's amazing. Have you seen his cover of Space Oddity?
Like that was great. Like where he's actually in space playing Space Oddity.
I don't know how to feel about this because that's a dick move, obviously. Like, I used to work at the cinema, you work at the cinema. That's a dick move. But it's Chris Hadfield.
This is a recounting of one of the guests in the cinema, Isabelle Tremblay, who said, "It was the weirdest thing. My boyfriend and I, we went to talk to him, and then we realized, pretty sure that's the astronaut guy from the news. And then we just let him get on with it, because what are you going to do? The man's probably knows space a bit better than George Clooney."
Well, it's like Neil deGrasse Tyson, who will watch a film and go, "Oh, but the star alignment's all wrong." Just stop being a dick.
Yeah, it is a bit of a dick move. According to witnesses as well, he was eventually removed and he was heard yelling, "Have you been to space? Because I've been to space."
It's like some Homer Simpson shit.
Yeah, this is weird. It's such a weird story, but I couldn't help but kind of find it funny. It's about an
Yeah.
astronaut. It's like, does he just go to all the science fiction movies ever and complain? It's like, imagine watching Prometheus. The guy would have a field day.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
But
Gravity is out on Thursday, and everyone else says it's really good. Just watch it as long as you're not an astronaut, apparently.
Yeah, I really want to see it. I cannot wait.
Yeah, Alfonso Cuarón's such a great director as well, and especially after the success that he's bound to get with Gravity, we should be seeing a lot more projects that people have just gone, do whatever you want, seriously.
Yeah, that's what I love about Gravity so far, that it seems for the first time really someone's just letting him just go nuts.
Yeah.
Make his film.
But that's our new segment for the week. Let's get finally back on track with some reviews.
So, it's been a bit of a weird month or so for music with me, because as I've mentioned numerous times, the Los Campesinos album came out.
Yeah, Kieran, have you listened to that one yet?
It's all right.
Yeah, I think we've heard you talk about it a bit.
But it takes a very impressive album to take my attention away from that, and the album I've been listening to this week is definitely of that caliber. So I want to talk a bit about good journalism and good music journalism, because I read a review for this album on Pitchfork, and without hearing a note of the music, the review summed up, like, this is an album I'm going to like. It's an album by an artist called Sky Ferreria. It's called Nighttime, My Time. And the song I'm going to play for you now is called Nobody Asked Me If I Was Okay. Sky Ferreria, and every now and then I will read a review that just makes you think, that is something I'm going to be into, and I just know, just because the journalism's that good, or there's something about the album cover, I just know that's something I'm going to like, and I love this album. I don't want to kind of belittle it by comparing it to other artists, but it's a weird mix of EMA, Robin and Grimes. It's like, there's a few songs that are just straight pop. Like the song that comes straight after the song I just played is called I Blame Myself. And that could be on a Robin album or a Nicola Roberts album or what have you.
Just on the radio.
Yeah. But then there's some albums that are really scuzzy and lo-fi, and it just mixes the two genres that don't really come together that much but work so well together.
The two genres that you like love unconditionally as well.
Exactly, as well. It's my two favourite genres, lo-fi, like scuzzy punk, DIY stuff, and female-fronted pop.
With hand claps.
Not many hand claps.
That's one mark down on the album.
Yeah, that's why it's only a 9 out of 10.
9.5 out of 10.
No, hand claps are a full one.
Wow.
But it's a great album. I'm really, really, really enjoying it. It's all I've been listening to for the past weekend. So, like I say, I can't recommend it enough. Go listen to Sky Ferrari. I think it's the debut album, but she's had a few EPs. So I need to go back and check out those EPs because this is an artist that's right up my street.
The name rings a bell. I can't quite put my finger on where I've heard it before, but yeah, it sounds very interesting.
So, but besides from that, the Arcade Fire album came out and I've not had much time with it. Because like Los Campesinos and Future of the Left and this. And the Arcade Fire album is long.
I can imagine.
It's a double album. So I think now that I've got to grips with this Sky Ferrari album, I keep pointing at my iPod. I don't know why.
I noticed. I was just looking on the camera and you just keep looking down to your left for some reason. I was like, are you porking someone in the face? What's going on?
My iPod's down by my comics. So I keep... the Sky Ferrari album on my iPod, but the Arcade Fire album, from what I've heard, is really, really good, so I might bring that up again next week or so. But you don't have any music this week, so let's get on to a nice, big, juicy film segment.
Some believe that before the universe, there was nothing. They're wrong. There was darkness, and it has survived.
If you know both me, Kieran, and the enthusiast, you should know what film we're going to talk about this week. It's Thor 2: The Dark World. Marvel are back with yet another phenomenal release. And what did you think about it, Kieran?
I thought it was a hoot.
Yeah, it's so much fun to watch because
it's a lot more. Thor 1 was fun, but this one is like Iron Man levels of fun.
Yeah, I'm starting to struggle having the idea of revisiting the other films because I saw Iron Man 3, which in my opinion is the best Iron Man movie, and I go back and watch 1, and it's still really good, but it's not Iron Man 3. I'm now going to struggle watching Thor 1 because of the Dark World, because this is such a fleshed out, like, alive world compared to the CG spectacle that was the first. I don't know.
I thought this was great. I was rolling in the aisles laughing at this film. And the action's great. That bit where he just dives off the balcony
and grabs a hammer.
And grabs the hammer and just keeps moving. I was like, oh, shit!
Yeah, it was badass. There's no other way around it. The basic plot of this one, which one of the things I'll just comment on, it's such a good standalone movie as well as a Marvel Universe movie. Like, you could just watch this even if you'd never seen The Avengers or Thor, which I thought was kind of beautifully done. But this one, I'm not too sure about this. Is it from an existing comic story?
Not in particular. It's heavily influenced by the work of Walt Simonson, but there's no specific Thor story that it really draws heavily from.
Because Thor is now back on Asgard following the events of the Avengers. Loki's all locked up, looking like you say, the guy from The Room. And everything's kind of going hunky-dory. They're returning the peace to the Nine Realms.
There's a great cameo by a Cronin, which is the first aliens or villains that Thor ever fought.
Is that giant rock thing?
That's
a hilarious scene, that. And everything seems to be all right until Salford's very own Malekith the Accursed turns up, and he's been plotting something for quite some time. He's been waiting for the...
Well, it's not even that, really. It's if it wasn't for the actions of a certain character, he wouldn't have shown up.
That's actually true, because he's been in sort of hypersleep waiting for...
Yeah. One of the main story points of this film is... And we're going to try our best not to spoil it, but some stuff might slip, so...
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. To quote Walter White, tread lightly. But one of the main points of the story in this is there's a... I think they call it the Convergence.
Yeah, it's where all the nine realms align.
Yeah, they kind of like pass through each other, and there's bits of the world that are more linked to the other nine realms than others.
Yeah, like the dimensional barriers kind of crash a bit, so you can kind of just hop between them casually in a weird way.
Yeah, and that leads to the eventual awakening of Malekith.
Who, Malekith's been after the use of a power just known as the Aether, which will grant him just superpowers to make everything dark.
Yeah, to black out the universe.
Yeah, to destroy all life form, and that's not...
It's a massive MacGuffin. I had a problem with the Aether. And I had a problem with the Dark Elves in general. It felt very Star Trek 1.
It felt very... I don't know whether it was set in... Because it was set in London. For me, it felt kind of Doctor Who-ish. Like the most expensive episode of Doctor Who ever. Not to helped by the Dark Elves looking awfully a lot like Cybermen, in my opinion. But it's put into perspective... obviously, we're not going to spoil anything, but... I'm just going to say it's put into perspective a lot of the Marvel Universe and just how powerful certain things can and will eventually be. But
Yeah, the post-credits especially.
Did you hear about all the controversy about that?
No.
The director of Thor 2, The Dark World, is Alan Taylor, who's done a lot of television. He's done episodes of Lost, Deadwood, he's done The Sopranos.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, a ton of Game of Thrones, which I thought rubbed off onto Thor perfectly. But he wasn't too happy with that post-credit sequence, which was directed by a certain director who's doing another one of the Marvel movies, which I don't want to spoil.
Oh, okay.
And he says he didn't like the tone of it in contrast of the rest of the movie, and he says it was... Obviously, he's not going to say it was crap, but he just wasn't a fan of it in contrast with what he'd set up. But I thought it was really interesting.
I thought it was too short to be... I don't see what he's talking about, to be honest. I really don't see what he's talking about.
Yeah. It just felt like a deleted clip or something. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't anything that ruined anything, because Thor 2 is really good.
It was more of an advert for another film than it was a part of Thor.
Which is what the Marvel Universe has been doing throughout the entire of the course, really.
It just seems very, very, very...
Just petty.
Yeah, petty. I don't like that. That just seems really... unnecessary to me.
Sorry if I'm bringing all these downers on you today. I didn't mean to. We're going to stay enthusiastic.
I thought the action was done really, really well in this film. I thought the main thing I took away from it was the comedy. There was one line that I swear was influenced by Alan Partridge.
Wow, really?
Yeah, the bit where Kat Dennings' character is talking to Thor, and she's like, "Have you been? Fine. And how's space? Space is good."
That made me laugh so...
Yeah, I was the only person in the screen that I burst out laughing at that bit. I was the only one.
Like, they managed to give everyone, all the side characters, a lot to do. Like, everyone gets their own badass moments. Like, Kat Dennings has a lot more comedy in this. Idris Elba gets one ridiculously awesome scene as Heimdall.
Oh, that's something I noticed. There wasn't... I did think it was weird that at the start of the film, they're just like, "Bye, Hogan. Like, Hogan, go home." That was a weird thing to do.
Yeah, it was odd, but they already have like 300 characters in this film that they already...
like, they're the Warriors 3. Either have all three of them or don't have any of them. although I do think it might set up something in the future, but I think it might lead to Thor 3. I've got an idea of what Thor 3 is going to be. I don't want to say it on the show, but... we'll talk about that in private. And anyone, if you want to know where I think it's going, they can email or tweet me.
Yeah, because the last scene of this film, just announce that you're doing Thor 3 already, and just do it already, because it sets up something which is just incredible.
Not even that. There's a small bit that might seem of little consequence to some people, but I think that's going to be the basis for Thor 3.
Ooh, it sounds interesting.
It might be what you're talking about, but I don't know. I don't know how important it seemed to people who don't know as much as I do not to sound dickish there.
Yeah, like, after watching this, I have tried to do my best to figure out, as a comic fan, everything Marvel are trying to do now. Just preemptive every single thing that they're doing. But Thor 2, seriously, go watch it. It's such a beautiful visual spectacle. The acting's really good. Like, Chris Hemsworth has already proven himself. And you've got Tom Hiddleston as Loki.
I know you seek vengeance as much as I do. You helped me escape Asgard, and I will grant it to you. Vengeance. And afterward, this cell.
You must be truly desperate to come to me for help. What makes you think you can trust me?
I don't. And you should know that when we fought each other in the past, I did so with a glimmer of hope that my brother was still in there somewhere. That hope no longer exists to protect you. You betray me, and I will kill you.
When do we start?
He's back to... Because I didn't like him in the Avengers that much. Compared to Thor 1, he's not very good in the Avengers. Or he's not as good. His character's not as nuanced in the Avengers.
See, I like him in the Avengers. I felt the alien threat was a bit just nameless, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But I felt he was having a lot of fun with the character. And in this one, he's just, again, having a blast. Like, every time he's on screen, it's just him.
Yeah, he steals the show.
I also love Anthony Hopkins as Auden, because he overacts the shit out of everything he's in.
Yeah.
It's like Shakespeare for him, which is beautiful.
That's kind of the point. It's why they brought in Kenneth Branagh for Thor 1, really.
I know, but it still had me chuckling every time Auden came on screen and didn't even emote any form of joy. It was just stern rock-faced for the entire thing.
I enjoyed, out of all the characters to get more screen time, I was really chuffed that Rene Russo's Frigga got some good screen time.
Yeah, she had a lot to do in this film as well, which was actually pretty heartfelt, I must admit.
Yeah.
Like, this is probably the, like, aside from Iron Man 3, and it might sound like a bit of a Marvel bias, but this is probably the only other big spectacle movie I've actually cared for this year.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
It's actually had, like, heart, characters, development, and just fun. Like, it's not annoyed me at all.
Yeah, I loved it. The first, like, half an hour, I wasn't really feeling it, and like I said, I think the Dark Elves and that whole thing with the ether, it just reminded me of Star Trek 1 and, was it Nero?
Yeah, the Romulan.
Yeah, and that little, like, magic red liquid that he has, it just seemed very, very similar. And his ship looked similar, and it just rubbed me the wrong way. But then the humour started to kick in, and I really, like, connected with the film in a big way.
They were just pumping laughing gas into the screen. I really liked as well how they incorporated space more into this one. Like, the Asgardians felt more like an alien race than just
gods.
Yeah.
Well, they say in the film, we are not gods.
I know, it takes a really interesting stance, because this one starts out and it's like laser swords and laser blasts. I was like, what the fuck happened with Thor? But I've just one more person to talk about. I can't pronounce his name, but I really like Mr. Echo in this. Adewale Akinyawe Adjabaje, I think.
Yeah.
That was my best effort. Don't expect anything more. Like, he plays one of the bad guys in there, and I really like the design of that character. And what we did with it. Yeah, it was kind of like the bane of the Thor 2 franchise, because really, he was the powerhouse of everything. And when he used his purpose, that was kind of him necessarily done with. But I really like what they did with that character.
Yeah, it was good to give just someone big for Thor to fight, because he was like the destroyer in this film. And yeah. Thor 1 needed a destroyer, and
like, just the physical threat for Thor, because Thor's huge and can take down most things, but, like, the one bit where the curse just grabs the hammer and she's like, nope, not happening. I was like, shit.
Yeah, it's... They pulled it off. I didn't think they could. It was the one I was looking forward to least in Phase 3, definitely.
Well, I need to stop fretting for Thor movies, because I thought the first one, after hearing all the pre-production stuff and seeing the first trailer, I was a bit worried. And then seeing the trailer for this and hearing about how there was some issues with the director at first, again, I got worried. But God damn it, Marvel know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's... I'm just even more hyped for Captain America and that other film.
That other film, which I am still incredibly excited for. I can't wait for it. But Captain America looks awesome as well. I finally...
Yeah, we've not had a chance to talk about it, really, have we?
No, I'll just give my quick thoughts on the trailer, because I only saw the trailer like a couple of days ago. I don't know where
That's how busy you are, crikey.
I can't even watch a 3-minute trailer of a film that I'm going to watch on day one of release. But yeah, they look like they're going to blow up a ton more in this one. But I really like how they're fleshing out S.H.I.E.L.D. as well as Captain America. They're making him feel more like a badass character. They're making him the badass that he deserves to be, because I feel that a lot of people treat him like the bit of the jock character of the Avengers, like the superhero that no one really cares about, because everyone for some reason hated the Captain America one.
Yeah, because people are idiots.
Yes, I agree. It's just us insulting the internet again. We really need to stop doing that. But
the internet needs to buck up.
Harsh but stern and fair words there from Kieran. But I'm enjoying everything Marvel are doing, maybe minus the TV stuff, but everyone should just go check out Thor.
Yeah, I care more about S.H.I.E.L.D. after the 3-minute Captain America trailer than I did after 3 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I've stopped watching.
Yeah, I've stopped watching it as well. I'll watch what happens with the whole Coulson thing when it just goes on bleeding cool, because they'll just post up what happens, and if it's not life model decoy, I'll probably just eat my hat.
Okay, so shall we move on to some video games?
Let's do it.
And I'll go first, and I'm so ashamed of myself.
Why?
I did it, Sean, I bought it.
Oh dear, I know what this is.
I spent all year bashing it, and then I bought it on day of release. WWE 2K14. I own it. And it's good, it's good. It doesn't look good. It looks like a pile of ass.
Yeah, see, you sound surprised. I knew you were going to buy this. Like, you weren't shocking me with this.
I knew I was going to buy it. I always knew I was going to buy it. I just thought I could hold out till it came down in price.
You're like a recovering drug addict. Like, just trying to... I'm not going to go back to that life. And then as soon as someone offers it, you're like, fine.
Did you see my Facebook post about my epic quest to buy it?
No, I didn't.
I went to Tesco, because you know I live just by Tesco.
Yes.
I thought, if they've got it in there, I'll just buy it in Tesco. I don't want to have to go into town. It was about 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just started jonesing like a drug, saying, okay, I need to buy it. So I got to Tesco.
And it wasn't in the aisles.
It wasn't on the shelves. So I went up to the electronics counter, and I said, do you have WWE 2K14? And the woman I spoke to didn't know, but there was another guy there, and he said, I think I saw some in the back. So she went to the back, she brought it out, she scanned it, and it wasn't showing up. So she got a manager, and the manager came down and he said, yeah, it's not in the till system yet, so we can't sell it.
That's bullshit.
It's like, but it's in your hands. It's in your hands. You're touching it. I could touch it. It's right there. Just like, you have a game, I have money, let's do this. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, let me just give you the money, and then when it comes on the system, you can just put the money in the till, and I can go now with the game.
But in the end, I didn't get the game, and at that point, it was about 6:30 in the evening, but I'm getting this game now, so I got the bus into town.
You had to test the blood.
Yeah. I had to do it. It was calling me.
The siren of video games.
Well, I've played a bit. The 30 years of WrestleMania thing is very fun, especially with me doing 30 years of WrestleMania for the enthusiast. It's fun to play some of those matches. And although I do find that I'm playing it going, that's not how it happened.
Ah, oh, because you're getting so well researched in it, you're just...
Yeah, it feels very revisionist. There's a lot of little things like in WrestleMania 3. When Hulk Hogan gets backdropped onto the outside, they've not pulled up the mat first. Just little things.
Just little attentions to details.
Yeah, because in some places they've really gone for that attention to detail, and in some places they really haven't. It's really weird. But I downloaded a bunch of characters from the creator mode on the online, so I've been playing a universe. And there's also a new mode called The Streak, where you can either play as someone and you try and defeat The Undertaker, but it's like the hardest mode in the game. You're just going to try and defeat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Or you play as The Undertaker, and it just keeps sending opponents at you until you finally succumb.
So it's kind of like Insanity Mode or something.
Yeah. It was in SmackDown 2, it was called Slobber Knocker Mode. But oh, now it's The Streak.
I miss SmackDown 2. That was probably the last wrestling game I played. I might have had one for the GameCube, but yeah, I've not played a wrestling game in a while.
Well, it's fun, but they've tweaked it a lot in places that really needed it. The striking feels a lot faster. They've changed the reversal system now, so that it's not just reversing into grapple holds. Because what would happen is, you'd grapple someone, they'd reverse it, get you into a grapple, and you'd just do that until it finally broke. Now if you reverse it, or if someone reverses you, you do a move on them.
Okay.
So it's a lot quicker, it's a lot snappier, so I like that a lot. And there's more of a feel to the characters, whereas in WWE 12 or WWE 13, every match felt the same, no matter if I was playing as The Big Show or The Rock or Stone Cold or whoever. It just felt like I was having the same match, but just hitting different finishes. Whereas in this, Ricky Steamboat moves, he zips around the ring, but then Yokozuna does feel quite lumbering and is a bit more difficult to play as, so you have to change your play style.
So each character feels like just a different character. It's not just the same skin or a bunch of game mechanics.
Yeah, so I'm liking that a lot more. I was getting very angry at it last night.
Just shouting at your TV again.
Yeah, because there's you have to hit like historical objectives in the WrestleMania mode, and there was one that was really hard. Overall, really like it. There's still a few things I've not really tried. I've not really got into it. I spent most of yesterday just setting my universe mode up just so. I spent hours and hours and hours setting it up, then spent maybe half an hour actually wrestling.
Jesus.
So I'm going to dig into that when I finish up here, I reckon. So
is this going to be on next-gen consoles as well?
It's not.
That's weird. Because usually with the sports games, they usually put them on all of them, don't they?
Yeah, they've had the transition, though, from THQ to 2K.
Oh, yeah, so they're probably just unpacking all the boxes while they made this one.
Yeah. Hopefully 2K15 will be a real improvement, because the 2K sports games are really good. Like, I had some problems with the 2K basketball game, but that's more because I don't understand basketball. If you like basketball, the 2K basketball game is great. It's spot on.
I keep seeing adverts for the new one for the next gen consoles, because they keep showing the CG version, the computer animated version of that basketballer next to the actual guy to like show how much he looks like it. And I still think it looks pretty creepy. It doesn't look anything like him, really. It just looks really... It's crossing the uncanny valley pretty quick.
But what have you got for us this week?
Last week, obviously, I missed the Halloween-style show where creepy goings-on, but I'm going to talk a bit about a horror game I've been playing over the past couple of weeks, because this game is on Microsoft Windows and Steam. It's called Outlast. It's by the wonderfully named Red Barrel Games publishing company, and it's another one of the first-person's perspective horror games, which have been kind of out there at the time. So like, think Slender, Amnesia, that sort of thing. But this one's got a lot more detail to it. You play as a journalist who's going into like an insane asylum, where it's believed to have experimental research on the inmates, where it's believed that's been going on. You're going in with a video camera and you have to investigate just by breaking in and filming stuff. Turns out, yeah, they have been in experimenting on stuff, and it's evil monster people that will kill you at any chance they get. But one of the actually really interesting things, this is kind of like a found footage video game, because you can lift up the camera to your face to record the stuff that you need to record, but you can also use the night vision on the camera controls to see stuff in the dark, and you can use that to see where enemies are, see where you're going, and also hide from enemies that are coming for you. So if you can hide under beds, you can hide in cupboards. But the AI of the enemies is actually pretty creepy. Because if you hid under a bed and they hear you shuffling around, they can come under the bed and just grab you from under it. And it's actually really tense. I've had a few bits in this game. Kind of like, last time I've been scared like this in a game was playing Bioshock. And we've already talked about that bit with the silent boy or whatever it was called. The thing that screams at you. That was horrible.
The problem with that was, because it came in like the last quarter of the game, you'd accepted at that point that Bioshock Infinite isn't a horror game like Bioshock 1 and 2 are.
And then it just throws a jump scare at you.
Yeah.
That shit me up. But this game's had quite a few of the scares. The story's quite good as well. You find notes to progress the narrative, figure out what's actually going on. And there's also a few different kinds of monsters. So you've got like the big hulking enemies that can just hunt you down and run after you and break down doors. Then you've also got like the quiet enemies that you don't really hear coming, but they just stab you at the same time. And it can get ridiculously tense, and I've spent most of it, I've actually discovered more in this game just pressing the run button and just running from enemies into random rooms. It has an element of survival horror to it as well, because with the night vision function, there is a battery level, and you do have to find, someone's just gone round the asylum leaving AA batteries around, which I always love that in horror games. I want to play that guy who leaves all this shit around for
it's
you.
It's the same in Alan Wake, isn't it? There's battery packs just lying around in Alan Wake for your torch.
Well, I want to be that guy in Resident Evil who leaves handgun bullets in plant pots just around the house casually, sets up the keys so you have to play the piano tune right to open a door. It's like, who lives in that house? Because that would be the worst living conditions ever. But Outlast, I'm really enjoying it. It's good to play a journalist in a video game, because it makes me feel a bit more like an actual journalist. Outlast, it's a really scary game. I definitely urge people to check it out. It's getting quite a lot of buzz. And
yeah, I heard a lot of things on Reddit like the week it came out. A lot of people seemed really, really into it.
Like, it's just got more detail. Like, it looks more like a game. It doesn't look like something like Slender, where it's just someone's thrown it together.
Yeah, Slender looks like shit.
Yeah, and you do actually have to look at the monsters in this, which can get pretty tense. It's also apparently coming out on PlayStation 4 when that's out, which I didn't actually know. But then
I'll probably pick it up then.
Yeah, then again, every indie game's coming out for the PlayStation 4 because none of them are on the Xbox.
Well, before we wrap up, I think it would be remiss to mention that if you like horror video games, you like free horror video games.
Ah, yes.
Our most popular and controversial columnist, Anti Gibb, who knows a lot about video games and about free video games, wrote an article on the Enthusiast website about his top 5 favorite free horror video games that's been quite popular as an article. People seem to like it.
Yeah.
Have you seen the stats?
I've not seen the stats, but I read the article and I can't remember which one it was, but it was the one which is like a Mario side scroller, but then it just
I think it's a version.
Yeah, that was a weird game.
Yeah.
I also found, like, I had a bit of a rush of horror games, and I found another free one which I'll just throw out there. It's called SCP Containment Breach. And it's this weird little mod which has been hugely popular because all of the things that it... it's kind of like a game where you're playing a prisoner in this facility. And think like Men in Black. It's a facility of all the things paranormal and all the things supernatural. And they just... Like, it's like a prison for all that stuff. And it's containing all the artifacts and monsters that you can imagine. And you're just in this, and then all the security breaks down. So you have to run from all these different creatures which all have their own distinct rules, and there's actually like a wiki for everything, and there's like 1,000 entries, and each one's like its own different horror story. And it's such a weird game. one of the main enemies is kind of like the Weeping Angels from Doctor Who. Like, if you don't look at it, it chases you. And the game has like a blinking mechanic where there's a bar which gradually lowers, and every time it lowers, you blink, but you can also blink manually. But it's a really weird game, and you can just download that for free as well.
I'll put links to that definitely in the show notes. It's a good time to be a horror fan.
I know. Well, it is Halloween.
Oh, yeah, it was
Halloween.
So did you not do anything for Halloween?
I was working. It was soul destroying. Although when I went home, I did watch quite a few horror movies. I saw Cabin in the Woods this Halloween week. I saw Stephen King's Pet Sematary for the first time in ages. And I remember that film freaked me out as a kid. And yeah, still freaks me out now. Like, it's got that weird girl who's apparently got meningitis, but she's like some kind of weird monster because she has meningitis, which I don't think is medically sound, really, but what are you going to do? I also saw Cube, which is great.
I did a shift at the cinema a few years ago on Halloween, and it was quite dead, so we had a lot of fun. I was dressed as Ghostface, and I kept scaring the same one member of staff the exact same way about four times.
See, I've always wanted to jot her in the screen checks. I'd love to have been dressed as Slender Man. Just put a morph suit on with that tuxedo and just stand there.
Just stand just to the right of the screen.
Yeah, just looking at people as they sit there watching like Paranormal Activity 7 or whatever's on. But this Halloween was better than last one, because last one I saw Silent Hill 2, and that is a terrible movie.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah. This week we only had one horror release, and that was The Haunted in Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia, which...
Didn't even know that happened. Yeah. I had no idea that existed as a film.
Yeah, no, not many people did. I just love the name, Haunted in Connecticut, Ghosts of Georgia. Like, isn't Georgia not in Connecticut?
Georgia's definitely not Connecticut, because they're both states.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that's one of the... I love really bad horror titles, like The Last Exorcism Part 2.
Well, if you can have Final Fantasy 12, you can have The Last Exorcism too.
Yeah, like I always say that. Someone had a discussion about Final Destination. I was like, how many Final Fantasies are there? Like, they've even gone to like 10-3 or whatever.
I'm just still annoyed that the fifth Final Destination film wasn't called Final Destination.
Well, we'll make up for that when we get Transformers.
Same with Fast and the Furious 4. Fast and the Furious.
Wasn't Resident Evil 5 like Resident Fievel or something? Like, it was some ridiculous...
Yeah, I think so.
And there was that Fear game where it's the third Fear game was just for 3 years, and it was
And Driver 3.
People need to stop doing that, because...
People need to keep doing that. I love it. People need to do it, but with, like, the number 7 and the number... like Just
crowbar it in.
Some of them... Yeah. It's the best. I love it.
We should We should do a podcast just where we try and read...
Enthusiast!
Jesus Christ, that's the sequel.
That's ace.
Cast harder.
Okay, so let's talk about some comics in the final chapter. And on a kind of spooky note, let's talk about one of the biggest releases of the year. Something I know a lot of people have been very excited for, and I picked up on a whim, because it looks very, very pretty. And it's written by one of the most well-respected writers in the industry, and that is Sandman Overture number 1. And do you have any experience with Sandman at all, Sean?
I've heard a lot of things, but I will admit that I've not read anything Sandman before. Cast me into the pit, internet.
Because it's generally considered as one of the like must-read classic comics of all time.
Yeah, it's on the lists of, like, it's up there with like Watchmen. It's like, if you've not read Sandman, you're not a real comic fan, yada yada yada. But
it's a hard read, I find. I read 1-75, and then I've tried multiple times to reread them, but I can never muster the energy. I appreciate it, but there's a lot there that kind of keeps me away. But Sandman Overture number 1 is drawn by J.H. Williams III, who I've gone on record multiple times as saying is one of the best artists alive today.
That's also a great name.
Yeah. He made a joke about that when I went to go, Neil Gaiman did, when I went to see his book tour, he was talking about how J.H. Williams III is one of the best names he's ever heard.
And it's also managed to put a number in as well.
Yeah. Like, J.H. Williams is fancy enough.
I know. Esquire.
Isn't that if you're a lawyer?
I haven't a clue.
I'm pretty sure it's if you're a lawyer. But anyway, Sandman Overture number one. It's telling the story behind just before Sandman number one.
So is it like a prequel story?
Yeah, it's exactly a prequel. Because Sandman number one starts with Morpheus, the Sandman, Dream, the god. He has multiple names, but he's the god of dreams, basically. And he gets summoned by a cult who are trying to summon his sister, who is Death. But they get Morpheus, and they think, oh, well, one of the Endless is better than none of the Endless. So they capture him, and they keep him captured for like a century or so. This is the story about what he was doing just before he was captured, to say why he was so weak, and what, like, because obviously he's the god of dreaming. He shouldn't be able to be captured by some mere mortals. But when he shows up in Sandman number one, he's very, very weak from something, but we never found out what. So this is that story. And this is, I think there's 12 issues altogether, with an issue every 2 months. So it's going to take a year. No, it's 6 issues with an issue every 2 months. So it's going to be 12 months altogether till it's done.
Okay.
So but it looks great. J.H. Williams is the man.
That should go on the book in the trade. Yeah. Just that as a quote.
J.H. Williams is the man. But I'm just going to show you some of the art now, if you can make it out through the webcam. I'll put a link to the preview, obviously, in the show notes.
Goddamn Matrix.
There's a great 4-page fold-out where Dream starts out with that. You get sucked into this black hole of space.
It's like a vortex, isn't it? The first double spread.
And then it opens out into that.
Wow, Jesus.
Yeah.
That is some elaborate shit for a comic book.
And there's another double page where the panels are made up of teeth.
Well, like the actual teeth, like there's just human enamel in your comic book.
No, like that.
Ah. Oh, that's really quite cool. Like the structure of them looks like a mouth.
Yeah, because the character in the Corinthian, he has teeth for eyes, like mouths, little mouths for eyes.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's grim.
Yeah, that's creepy as hell.
But it's a great comic. I don't know how it'd be if you'd not read Sandman already. I might lend it you just so I can get a newbie's opinion on it as a standalone comic. But it looks great, it feels great. It's got a nice glossy cover. It feels important. It does really. It feels like something that really matters.
You're holding history in your hands.
Yeah, and I think we know how much I like it when a book or a comic just feels right.
Yeah, I do like how in your reviews for comics you do comment on how it feels and you start stroking the book.
It's important.
Forget digital media.
Yeah, exactly. It's physical all the way. It's why if I buy an album, I always buy the vinyl. I want to hold something, I want to look at something, I want something. A lot of it is just I want physical proof of how good my taste is.
Oh dear.
But I've got to talk about one more comic this week, because as you say, you are a very busy man. And Superior Spider-Man number 20.
Does this have the Sandman in it?
No.
No.
He's currently in Superior Spider-Man Team-Up. But he's not in this. Which is also a very good book. All the Superior Spider-Man books are really good at the moment.
I heard Superior Falls is really good.
Yeah, I've gone back and picked up the first 4 issues of that. It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's the Sinister Six, but there's only 5 of them.
So it's Sinister Five.
Yeah, but they call themselves the Sinister Six. Because one, it gives them an air of mystery, and people are thinking, who's the sixth member?
It's and like there's another guy going to turn up. So.
No, because the other reason is it's one less person to split the loot with. So it's a really fun comic. But Superior Spider-Man number 20, things are finally not going Otto's way. he's had it good for about a year now, but a lot of things are going wrong at once for the Superior Spider-Man.
Poor Otto.
And I'm very interested in seeing what happens, because there's a big crossover coming up with Venom, and then after that there's the big Goblin Nation arc, where, let's just say, Marvel released a teaser image for Inhumanity, and the Spider-Man on that was red and blue. So, I don't know how long Otto Octavius is of this world.
The Superior might be coming to a clause.
Which is a shame, because I love Superior Spider-Man. It's the most fun I've had with Spider-Man ever. I don't want Peter Parker back, to be honest.
Like, it's got its haters, but you have to admit, this is probably the most interesting and coherent thing they've actually done with Spider-Man in a while. Like, it's consistent, they've done something with him.
Yeah. Thing is, I was on like Reddit's comic book forum, and I should have known better to just get involved.
Yeah.
But someone was having a go at it, saying how it's going to ruin Peter Parker forever, because even if he does come back, it's something that you're not going to get past.
Because Peter Parker's not been ruined enough.
Yeah, and they mentioned it about how, in relation to Batman and Bane, and saying how when Batman got his back broken, that ruined Batman for them. I was like, really? If anything, the worst thing that ever happened to Bane was Bane breaking Batman's back.
Yeah, because now he's a one-note character.
Yeah, whereas when does Batman ever talk about it? Batman never brings it up, but it's all Bane does. Like, if I never see Bane break a dude's back, I'd be so happy. And it's the same with this. Like, Peter Parker's going to recover from this just fine. I don't know when, I don't know where, but it's going to happen. Everyone knows it. I know it, you know it, Dan Slott knows it, Axel Alonso knows it. Everyone knows Peter Parker is going to come back at some point. So let's just enjoy this for the story that it is for now, which is great, and enjoy the story when Peter Parker comes back, because I don't want Dan Slott to ever leave Spider-Man, I really don't. But I'm worried, as this seems to be coming to some sort of conclusion, I'm very, very worried that Dan Slott's going to take that as an opportunity to bow out.
Yeah, it sounds like you're loving a spin-off of a TV series, but then the TV series has to come back regardless.
Yeah, kind of. I know what you mean. But it's so good. It's so much fun. And just seeing, I really enjoy seeing the Superior Spider-Man interact with Spider-Man's characters. Like, this is the first issue that features the Black Cat.
Okay.
Since Otto took over.
Oh, that sounds creepy.
And seeing how Otto reacts to Black Cat, it's just hilarious. In like Thor: The Dark World, is a great mix of comedy and action and suspense. It's everything you want in a superhero comic. I don't think it gets talked about in the same breath as like your Hawkeyes and your Daredevils, but I definitely think it deserves it.
So it's one of Marvel's best, would you say?
Yeah. Also, have you heard Daredevil's wrapping up?
Yeah, I heard that. The tears of 1,000 comic book fans around the world instantly flooded the internet.
Well, at least we still have Hawkeye.
Yeah.
We'll always have Hawkeye.
Yeah, we'll always have good comic books, hopefully.
Yeah, well, like we said a few weeks ago with Marvel Now Part 2, I can't afford this.
Yeah. It's like Marvel are kind of like an anthology horror. It's like, sure, if you love one thing, it might be short, but there's going to be another good thing very shortly anyway. It's like It's like they announced, what was it, like 18 books or whatever?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and I'm buying most of them.
I've honestly had to cut back with comic books because I have been bankrupt in many a week. Like £20 a week on just comic books that I'm currently reading, never mind new ones for this show.
Yeah, I don't know how we manage it.
But we do.
We do indeed. But I think that is going to be this week's show. It's a bit of an experiment. I don't know if we'll do it like this again. It's
been interesting.
Yeah. But Skype is definitely an option there for us. So you might hear another show like this in the future. But where can we find you on the internet, Sean?
Everyone can find me on the internet on Facebook and Twitter, s_Keeney, and also at my blog at rantoveruk.wordpress.com. Where can everyone find stuff about you, Kieran?
People can find everything about me at about.me/KingImpulse. Or you can go to www.enthusiacast.com, where we have week or daily articles, barring the weekend, about all the sort of stuff you've heard us talk about today. We just launched a few new articles. Did you read the new Super Crimes Against Fashion, Sean?
I really enjoyed that.
It's a lot. Yeah, I'm so proud of that article, because it was my idea as an article, but like, well, I can't write this because I know too much about superheroes. I need to find someone who can do this for me. And Beth's just knocked out of the park.
Yeah, that's our friend Beth Cunniff.
Yeah, she's fantastic writer, very funny, very knowledgeable. I've read this week's already, and it's great. It's really good. It's really, really good. But besides that, we have Cass Effect, we have Source Material, VHSAs, 30 Years of WrestleMania. We had two anti-Gibb columns in 1 week, which was a big boon for the site. We've got another Montreal Wrestling post coming up very soon. So we've got a lot going on, as usual.
I really don't know where anyone finds this much time to do what we do.
But, yeah, so enthusiacast.com, facebook.com/enthusiacast, twitter.com/enthusiacast, enthusiacast.podomatic.com, or just go to iTunes, leave us a rating, leave us a review, subscribe, and just get in touch with us. Let us know what you think. Do you like the show? Do you hate the show? What do you like? What do you hate? Do you have something to recommend to us? Email us, enthusiacast@gmail.com.
Also, tell us what you thought of the Skype thing. If you think that I shouldn't have took the red pill and entered the Matrix, just let us know.
Yeah, see, if you feel like this week's is a better show, if it's a worse show, why it's better, why it's worse. We're always looking to improve. I'm always looking to improve the show and to improve the website. So if you've got any hints, you've got any advice, if you want to write for us, we're always looking for new weekly or semi-regular columnists. So if you've got an idea for an article, give us an email. I'm probably not going to say no.
Yeah, as long as I'm open for any criticisms, really. If anyone wants to tell us how to improve the show, as long as we don't have to jump any sharks on a jet ski, we'll be fine, really.
I definitely want to jump some sharks on a jet ski.
We'll end up with like a baby character on the podcast or something. But,
I was thinking about when we get to number 52, just restarting again, but we're just dicks to each other.
The enthusiast reboot.
Yeah.
It's you're played by Ben Affleck, and I'm just not.
You've got that Henry Cavill beard.
I do. I don't look anything like Henry Cavill, but I appreciate the compliment nonetheless.
You've got the facial hair. That's about it.
I haven't destroyed anything lately.
not endangered millions and millions of lives.
Man of Steel 2 is going to blow up London. That's my
probably. but yeah, that's this week's show. Thanks for listening. We'll see what happens next week. It's a bit of a flux period for the enthusiasts at the moment, but we'll have a show come hell or high water next week in some form or other. But thank you guys for listening and bearing with us. I'm Kieran Shiak, he's Sean Keeney, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.